Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Good to have you with us today. We have a great show today, continuing our discussion. You feel like you hear this every time, every week, same place, same time. I think that's probably true. You get in the car, you kind of get into patterns, and here we are talking again. Today we're going to talk about some of the things that are happening with wine, women in the new evangelization in the Archdiocese. We've got a real special guest, Dr. Carol Raza, and she teaches down at West Palm Beach at the St. Vincent de Paul Seminary. Really, really a good teacher, and she's got some good books, very clever titles. I love the titles of her book, a couple of them. Sunblock, How Christians Unknowingly Shield Themselves from Grace, and that is a clever title. We're going to talk to her about a real special talk she's going to be giving in the Twin Cities. It's coming up on Thursday, April 14th for the Women, Wine, and Wisdom event is actually what it's called. It's one of the events of wine, and it's going to be taking place on April 14th at the Royal Cliff Banquet and Conference Center. She's got a real clever talk title, too. It's called Wake Up, Sleeping Beauty, You've Already Been Kissed. So we're going to talk to her, and Kelly Wahlquist will join us for a few minutes to talk about where wine is at. Still living in the afterglow, I got to tell you, the afterglow of the men's event, the big Catholic Watchman event on February 27th. We are seeing some really, really beautiful things evolve here, and I actually wrote about it in the upcoming Catholic Spirit article, the Watchman column, talking about what's happening down in Faribault. Justin Stroh is leading that effort down there, and he's doing an absolutely fantastic job of getting those men really all organized and ready to go as Catholic watchmen. And over in Chanhassen, the Knights of Columbus, the Grand Knight over there, has done a great job of rallying the Knights, and they're talking about, praying about becoming Catholic watchmen right now. What are Catholic watchmen? They are men who have made a pledge that they are going to kind of ramp up their Catholicism, their walk with God, by agreeing to do three things on a daily basis, two things on a monthly basis, and a weekly basis. On a daily basis, they're going to commit to praying, learning to pray every single day. Also, they're learning to encounter Christ in Scripture every single day, and they're committing to be men who have a heart like Saint Joseph, a father's heart, whether they're married or not, whether they have kids or not. Every man is called to be a father in some way, and they're committing to that. On a weekly basis, engaging the Mass and serving their family and the parish community. And then on a monthly basis, going to confession and agreeing to meet with other men in fraternity to encourage each other like iron sharpening iron. It's very exciting. You want more information, go to thecatholicwatchman.com. Also, a little bit later on in the show, I want to talk to you a little bit about humility. Humility. We're going to talk about humility in evangelization. We always like to talk about, something related to evangelization. And thinking about this show, I landed on humility. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Some of you might be wondering about my status. You saw the announcement last week that I was ending my formal employment in the Archdiocese as the Director of Evangelization. And while I'm doing that, I'm still staying on and working with evangelization in the Archdiocese and hope to continue to work in various ways with the Archdiocese and Bishop Cousins. And the Catholic Watchman movement is very near and dear to my heart, and a lot of other things we really want to continue to do. Want to continue with wine, women in the new evangelization, but I have some responsibilities with my Bible studies and some of the things I'm working on around the country. So I think it's going to be a really good relationship. It's a win-win relationship, and we're just going to keep on going forward and upward and on to glorifying the Lord. So I do continue to look forward to working with you and appreciate all of your prayers. So we're going to talk in just a few minutes here to Kelly Wahlquist, get kind of a rundown of what's happening with women Women, Wine, and Wisdom. It's a special event coming up where women get together, and they have really an incredible night. Appetizers, fabulous fellowship, conversation, and they have a lot of laughter. My wife and I attended one of these. I had to bow out because it's for women, but from what I could tell, they were having a great time. And every time they have either a singer, they have a speaker, and Dr. Carol Raza is going to be speaking on that big event Thursday, April 14th. Let me tell you right now that you need to sign up because these things have a tendency to sell out. I think it's the food. But they sell out, and you want to get in early on that because it's going to be a great night, and we're hearing great testimonies concerning that. Well, the weather's changing. It's exciting this time of the year. I think people are getting more excited about spring. The water's out on the lakes, and people are preparing themselves for summer, and I hope that this summer you have a really great time with your family. But remember, in the midst of work, in the midst of family, in the midst of the seasonal change and Easter just around the corner, that we have to keep our eyes open as disciples of the Lord to share the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere we go and continue to work on your own heart as a project to become more like Jesus. And the only way that we can do that is to be in a relationship with Him. That means that you have to have some sense of a plan for prayer to meet with Him on a daily basis. You have to have some sense of a plan to talk with Him and listen in His Word, the Scripture. And that's something that is very, very intentional. It doesn't come by accident. You don't wake up 10 years after you make a commitment to Christ and say, I have no idea how this happened, but boy, am I mature. You know, it is something you've got to really focus on a daily basis. And part of the problem of being a Christian in the United States is that there are so many flashy toys and opportunities to indulge in, and before you know it, the Lord is just one more thing in your life. But I got news for you and me both, and that is this. When you get to heaven, the Lord will not be just one more thing. He will be everything to us. And that's what we hope to experience here on earth, is to daily get closer to the Lord, know Him better, understand His mind and His mission, and enter into all of that. But we have to do it as we sit in this great Garden of Eden of so many good things that look good, taste good, and make us wise. But we have to make good choices in the middle of it. So just a reminder, and I'm reminding myself too, everything I say, I've got a mirror in front of me, so don't worry, it's for me too. We're going to come back in just a moment, talk with Kelly Wahlquist, and then Dr. Carol Raza is going to join us. This is the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Why is it so easy to work with Catholic United and their local rep for life insurance, retirement products, and annuities?
Well, Dale's a friendly guy. He's outgoing. You see him at church. You see his face all the time. Easy to talk to.
Yeah.
I know the way he pushes it a lot. I see you don't really scare the life insurance as much as the Pope or the scholarships or the financial help. You know, you can get financial planning, estate planning. So he goes about it instead of straight out trying to sell life insurance. That's one of the options, but you got the giving to the church, you got the estate planning, you got the scholarship funds. I think he comes in through that side.
Find your local Dan at Catholic United Financial by calling Ryan Selleck at 952-933-0780. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Hey, you know, the beautiful music there as we come back into the show, and that reminds me that at the rediscover-faith.org website here in the Twin Cities, we've got a whole section on singers, on artists that I would highly recommend that you go to, because, you know, a lot of people are wondering, is there good music out there? I want my kids to be exposed to good music. And we've got a list of musicians, and you can sample what they sound like. And just get some good music for your kids. I'd highly recommend Ali Aaliyah. She's fantastic. She really is very, very good. And we, in fact, I think she's up on that website. And we've got a lot of other guys too, a lot of other people. So, you know, start listening to some good music. And if you're down, if you are having a difficult time and you're discouraged, one of the best things you can do is to listen to praise music. And so I encourage you to get some good praise music while you're in the car and at home. And when you're not listening to Relevant Radio, just listen to some praise music and then turn it right back to Relevant Radio. But lift yourself up with some good music. Joining us for a few minutes here before we talk with Dr. Carol Raza is Kelly Wahlquist, and she is the director and the founder of WINE. That's Women in the New Evangelization, out of the Twin Cities here, but it's growing all over the country. And they do a number of really interesting events and opportunities for women to get together in small groups in their parish. They've got book clubs. They've got a yearly conference, which was just here in the Twin Cities not too long ago. And out in Burnsville, that was a phenomenal event. But they also have something called Women, Wine, and Wisdom. And these take place periodically where women get together at some usually kind of eating establishment. They pretty much take it over. And they eat. They fellowship with one another. They've got a speaker or music, and they're growing in popularity right now, and they sell out very quickly. So Kelly Wahlquist joins us. She's also the assistant director of the Catechetical Institute, the Flynn Institute, Catechetical Institute here in the Twin Cities. I had a privilege of working with her for many years there. Welcome to the show.
Ah, great. Good to be here. Thanks, Jeff.
So, WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, it's taking off around the country.
It is. We have had a really busy year. You know, we came out with it at the Rediscover event and kind of laid a little path, but now it has just really taken off. We have a lot of events. Just came off a really good conference. I guess we're still in the afterglow of that, too. We had about 1,100 women at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville, and it was a fabulous event. Great speakers, just a really, really good time. Really ignited some hearts, I think.
And I'm hearing the testimonies from other people that they were encouraged. One of the things I like about the events that you're doing is that it's not just for the choir. You know, it's not just for the initiated, those who really get it. It's for everybody, and it's a good opportunity for women not only to attend themselves, but to feel really comfortable about bringing other women that might not have been exposed to Catholicism, exposed to the gospel, and it gives them a kind of a natural way of fellowshipping with other people and seeing that, hey, there's some neat ladies here in the Twin Cities who love God.
Right. You know, that one of the biggest things we hear around the country, and certainly here in the Twin Cities, is women will come to an event, and what they'll say is, I feel like I belong. They feel like they belong there. And that's what we want. We want them to realize that we do belong together, and we need to do this in community. WINE is all about inviting women into relationship with other women so we can have a deeper relationship with Christ. And, you know, in your opening, you spoke about trying to follow Jesus in a world that is blingy and flashy, and it's hard and difficult. And that's what WINE's about. I mean, you know, it's a fun name. It is. There's no doubt. But it really focuses on John 2:5, do whatever he tells you. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do the will of God. It's a little bit easier when you've got your friends helping you and supporting you, lifting you up when you're down, rejoicing with you when you're elevated. And that's what we want to do. We want to really support women on this journey back to the heart of the Father. And you know what? We are. We're getting women that just say, I feel like I belong.
One of the events that is under the umbrella of WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, is these events that you call Women, Wine, and Wisdom events. Before we get to the one that's coming up, what events have you already put on the past under this title, Women, Wine, and Wisdom?
Well, the Women, Wine, and Wisdom truly springs from the fact that I speak a lot around the country, and I speak at Theology on Tap, and that audience is 18 to 38, so I'm a couple days older than 38, so I really can't go to those, but I can speak at them.
So we'll insert the truth later there, Paul.
So we decided that we would make something for women that you could be 18 to 118. We don't care how old you are. We want you there. And that's where it came from. We've had our first one was just spectacular. It was Alyssa Bormez, and she did a talk called Why We Need Jerry Springer in Reality TV.
Uh-huh.
And we packed the joint. It was great. But it was on confession. You know, we have this need to tell our sins. Do we want to go tell Jerry Springer, who wants us to sin more because his ratings go up and he makes more money? Or do we want to go to confession and to the priest in persona Christi and go to God, who is all merciful? And it was great. And I think what happened there is that women, that's where they got that sense of belonging. And it wasn't intimidating. It was like, okay, there are fun women in the Twin Cities who love the Lord and are trying their best to do His will. And they're slipping sometimes, but they're holding each other up. So they went and invited their friends to the next one. And that's what's happened. We have grown so much in those that we've only been able to hold about 150 people. But we're really excited about this one coming up on April 14th because we are at Royal Cliffs in Burnsville, and we can have probably 300 to 400 people, and we'd love to see that.
That is fantastic. That's a kind of a mini conference right there. The other one that my wife and I attended, she stayed. No, we both left. We went for the beginning of it just to see what
Hall of Beauty, right?
Yeah, what that was about, and you guys literally took over. It was a Mexican restaurant.
Oh, it was Old Mexico in Roseville. Yeah. Phenomenal. Just absolutely.
Literally took it over.
Well, yeah, a little
Pretty
bit.
Much. Yeah.
We did.
And it was good. And Marie Miller was there.
She was there, and she's a phenomenal singer. And I love, she kind of spices up her singing with stories, personal mm-hmm. stories intertwined in there. And it was great.
When you meet these ladies who come to the events, whether it's the annual conference for wine here in the Twin Cities or one of these Women, Wine, and Wisdom events, what are some of the, and I'm going to talk to Dr. Raza in just a few minutes about this, but what are some of the themes that emerge that women are dealing with these days?
Well, first what we hear is they say, I've been looking for this. They've been looking for this. They've been looking for some kind of support system. And so that's encouraging. Or there's women who say, I've tried to do this. And so it's great to bring them in with us. The common themes I think we hear are one of just being too busy, trying to balance your contemplative and your active spiritual life. That's very common for women. Just how do I do this? How do I get deeper in my personal relationship with Jesus as I'm taking the kids to school and I'm going to piano lessons and I'm doing all that? That's one thing we hear. Another one that's pretty common is from mothers who, you know, my child has left the faith. What do I do? How do I, you know, can you help me? Can you support me? Where do I turn next? And, you know, it's pretty much just on their faith journey. It's mm-hmm. it's women where they're at spiritually. A lot of women sometimes are like a step ahead of their husbands and really want their husbands to be leading spiritually and are waiting for that and need that support during that time of praying for them or praying with other women for them. So, mm-hmm. yeah, those are kind of common.
You mentioned the concern for children is a real concern for a lot of the ladies that I've spoken to also, that they want their kids to really grow in the faith and they want unity in their family. And I think that this support for one another is really vital. We're finding the same thing in the men's mm-hmm. ministry with the Catholic Watchman, is that when men get together, there's a solidarity. There's something in common that just getting together says something, and it
right.
does something to people. When you get a group of women together, it says something to each other that we're not alone, you know. And one of the theme songs of yeah. Marie Miller, in our Rediscover theme from last 2 years ago. But when men get together, like we did in February 27th at St. Thomas, I said to the men, just look around. This says something. Just looking around, you see this many, you know, guys together. And I think that is important. What would you say to someone who says, well, I just don't go to these types of things and I've never done that before and might be a little bit timid?
Oh, I just got a great email the other day from someone who went to our conference and said exactly what you said. She said that she's never been to anything, and this really ignited her on fire to go deeper in her faith. She was surprised. She, you know, when you hear somebody say, "Oh, I'm going to go to a Catholic conference or a Catholic event," all of a sudden you have an image in your head of what this is going to be. But when you get to something like this, it's so different. I mean, there are four things in wine that go through everything we do, whether it's a conference, whether it's our book club. I guess it's four tannins, I guess, if we're talking wine, that make up wine. And number one is the sisterhood. They're going to feel like they belong.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that. What I like is that we're seeing groups of women in their 20s and 30s and 40s. These young mothers are coming together and making time for it. Our second thing is scripture and prayer. Everything we do, down to even our Kleenex that we gave at our conference has scripture on it. You know, we try to weave that into everything we do. Our third aspect, we say, is discovery. We want them to get a piece of the faith. Like, oh, that's why we do that. Kind of those aha moments. Like with Alyssa, when she spoke and spoke on confession, we had so many women that had no idea what was going on, and they loved it. They're like, that's what's happening, mm-hmm. you know? And then our fourth thing, we say, with everything wine, we have chocolate. But that really is the beauty. There's a beautiful aspect to everything we do in wine, and God draws us in through beauty.
Sounds like the men's ministry, but we have beef jerky.
Do you? Yes. Yeah. Maybe some chocolate-covered beef jerky for our combined initiatives.
Hey, let's bring in Dr. Carol Raza. Dr. Carol Raza comes from West Palm Beach, where she is in the one of the full-time faculty there at the St. Vincent de Paul Seminary. She's a psychotherapist licensed by the state of Florida in mental health counseling with a degree in education from Nova Southeastern University. And she's going to be coming up here to the Twin Cities, and she's going to be participating in Women, Wine, and Wisdom. And I love the title of her talk, Wake Up, Sleeping Beauty, You've Already Been Kissed. Dr. Raza, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to hear Kelly. It's wonderful to hear your voice, and it's wonderful to be able to talk to you, Jeff.
Well, we're looking forward to you coming up here. I got to tell you, I like the title of your book, Sunblock, How Christians Unknowingly Shield Themselves from Grace. And I think that is a great title, because it's so true that we frustrate the grace of God sometimes in our life, don't we?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. The thing is, we don't even know we're doing it. We put up these blocks, and we don't even realize we're doing it. Just so natural. It's so part of our lives. It's so part of how we've developed, you know, over the time, that we don't even know what happens.
Right, right. Well, you're coming up to the Twin Cities. You're going to be speaking on Wake Up, Sleeping Beauty, You've Already Been Kissed. Give us a little synopsis of that talk. It's a clever title.
Okay, I'd love to. When I discovered that St. Bernard of Clairvaux had coined that title for the Holy Spirit, the kiss of God, I just loved it. You know, I'm a hopeless romantic, so I loved hearing, you know, that God kisses his children. It was exciting to me, and the kiss means so much, you know, love and mercy and kindness and security. You know, even when a parent kisses their child, there's so much that penetrates that kiss. It empowers us. So the kiss of God empowers us to know who we are, mm-hmm. and to know who our Father is, to know who our Father is. So I believe, you know, we've all been kissed by God. Our baptism is evidence of that. We have all been kissed by God, but so often we go into this slumber state. You know, we stay in slumber, almost like anesthetized, and it's until it's stirred up inside of us, until we realize, you know, God has so much more in store for us. He has a plan, a purpose for our lives, and we could live that in a much fuller way, in an abundant way, mm-hmm. if we awaken that part of us.
Carol, you also have another book. I like the title also, Parent Me, Please, which is a book for parents with adolescents. Kelly and I were talking earlier about one of the themes that's on many a woman's mind is this issue of their children, and they want their children to grow up and to be Catholic and to be healthy. What are you hearing out there in the world today from women when it comes to the issues that they're really concerned about when you talk from city to city?
Yeah. You know, one of the motivators of that book was because parents are so time starved. You know, they really don't have the same time that they would like to be in their children's lives, to do the things that are important in their children's lives. So that's where the book came from. We started to gather information from kids ages 9 to 19. From all different environments, and we asked them what's important to them. And they said very much what the parents say. We want our parents to listen to us. We want them to teach us. We want discipline from them. We want to feel secure in our relationship with our parents. And the parents are saying the same thing. Is that I want to feel safe that my children know that I love them, you know, and that, that I'm here to protect them, that I'm here to guide and direct them. We were speaking the same language. I mean, saying the same thing, but maybe in different language. And, you know, often parents think that their kids don't want any part of them. But the reality is they do. Mm-hmm. They really do. So we have a lot of frightened parents that are parenting in a very frightened way. They're afraid that they're going to do something wrong and they're going to lose their kids. And in fact, we see in many environments, they really are, because they're not doing anything at all.
Well, from the time that you grew up and the time I grew up, you know, we say to our kids, I understand where you're at. And the kids will say, well, no, I don't think you do. Times have changed, Mom. Times have changed, Dad. Do you think times have changed for this generation? Are they facing things that you and I didn't face when we were kids?
Definitely things I didn't face when I was a kid. This is a very unique time. And I understand why parents are cautious. You know, I mean, I have grandchildren now, and I see the world they're being raised in. There's so much to influence them, so much. I mean, we had maybe one or two vehicles to influence us. We had peer groups. We had some television, you know, but it wasn't like television is today. Certainly teachers influence, but the reality is today, I mean, they just have to press a button and the world is theirs, and
right.
They could explore that world in very dangerous ways.
Right. No, I totally agree. Yeah, when I was growing up, my parents didn't even have to monitor television. I think they blocked out only one segment of one Gilligan's Island, and that was about it. But but other than that, you know, it was pretty free. We're talking with Dr. Carol Raza right now here on the Rediscover Hour, and Kelly Walquist is joining us. We're preparing for this big event Thursday, April 14th. It's the Women, Wine, and Wisdom event at the Royal Cliff Banquet and Conference Center. And Kelly, for those that might only be spending a few minutes with us that have to go into work, where will people find out more information about this event?
They can go to catholicvineyard.com and go right on our events page. And you'll see Women, Wine, and Wisdom. Click on that, and there's a great video there by Dr. Carol Raza inviting you. So come out. It's Thursday, April 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Royal Cliffs. And please invite some friends, because we got some room this time.
There's an early bird special, isn't there?
There is, and it ends on St. Paddy's Day. So get that early bird special. Maybe we'll extend it a couple more days.
That's good. Dr. Carol Raza, I got to ask you, talking about women, you know, in what women are going through in their life today, what's on your heart to share?
I believe that women today have to recognize really who they are as daughters to the King. I think certainly the world, we've been very evangelized by the world, and the world has taught women they have to look a certain way, they have to act a certain way, they have to, absorb life in a certain way, have a certain attitude. But as a daughter, when I recognize myself as a daughter to the King, an heir to the throne, everything changes. Everything changes because I realize that He has so much more for me. Women have to really be able to see the beauty that God created in them, and that He called them for good purpose. And they weren't called to be a man. They were called to be a woman, and being a woman is absolutely wonderful. You know, there's just so much for us. We have another generation that we need to continue to nurture into, the fullness of God's love. So I would think that's the big thing right now, is women need to know who they are.
Sure. Well, one of the situations, and I've spoken to Kelly about this, and we've talked about it in the past, one of the situations that seems so common today is women who are on board. They love the Lord. They get it. You know, they want to go deeper in their faith. They want their children to grow up. But their husband is not with them. You know, their husband is kind of in a different world, at work and some of the hobbies he's involved in, but he's just not that serious about the faith. And what I hear from women is that, you know, it kind of breaks their heart, and they really pray for their husbands. Would you have any words of encouragement as a psychotherapist to someone who's working with people frequently on this particular topic, a word of encouragement to women?
Yeah, I think they need to continue to do what they're doing as far as praying for them. But we need to pray from a position of authority as the wife, you know, to this man, you know, to pray recognizing that God wants him there too. He wants him to recognize, you know, that he's calling him to much more than his hobbies. So when we pray from that perspective, we're actually praying from victory. We're not whining to God. We're praying, saying, Lord, I know it's already taken care of. The victory is already won, you know, and I want to just, I want to access that for my husband. So I would continue to pray. But the other side of that is, as women, you know, we like to talk a lot, and we're pretty big on control. We have to, you know, love more and talk less, you know, and we really have to be the wife, you know, and you know, just love our husbands into, you know, into a non-threatening situation. Sometimes we talk so much about what they need. You know, you need this. You need to listen to this person speak, or you need to do, and as soon as we do that, we push them further away. But, you know, if we could love them into an understanding, a fuller understanding of who they are, we could start to see those things turn around.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. You know, I want to give that information about this upcoming conference once again. It's Thursday. It's not really a conference. It's an event. It's in a happening Women, Wine, and Wisdom event. It's Thursday, April 14th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's in the Royal Cliff Banquet and Conference Center. That's on Cliff Road in Eagan. Kelly Wahlquist is with me. And Kelly, I know we have an early bird special, but for some of those that are listening, that early bird special, originally St. Paddy's Day, is already gone by, so we're going to extend that, I understand.
Right. We'll extend it to Monday the 21st, and you're going to want to come. We were talking earlier about if your friends have never been to something like this, about inviting them. And this is something, Dr. Raza is so dynamic. She is such a great speaker. And even when I mentioned her name in the Twin Cities, because many people have had her as a teacher, they are just excited. They're like, I can't wait to be there. So grab a friend, because you can hear her on the radio. You can hear her enthusiasm. Wait till you see her in person.
Dr. Raza, one of the questions we love to ask writers is, because so many people believe there's a book in them, but they don't know how to get that book out. You know, how do you write? What, any particular patterns of writing or times of the day that you write, or how do you go about it?
You know, no, times of the day, no. I try to put, you know, just some time aside, you know, to do that. But I write the way I talk. I write the way I talk. My books and my conferences are very New York. Even though I live in Florida, they're very New York. You could tell it's me, even when you read it. No, but I really think that God could carve the time aside. If he's inspiring men and women to write, that means he has, you know, he has something in mind, and he could put that time aside for them to say, Lord, you know, carve out time for me to put this down on paper.
Right.
So that others could read it.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, and we're looking forward to it. We're going to welcome you to the Twin Cities April 14th, and
wonderful.
And I know people are not going to be disappointed, and this is going to be this could be a rare opportunity, a unique opportunity for women that have never been to an event like this before, and God just may speak to their heart in a way that literally could change the course of their eternal existence. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
I really think that can happen, and we pray that God will use you in a powerful way.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carol. Looking forward to seeing you, and hoping you're bringing up some of that sunshine from Florida.
Okay, I will.
Thank you. That's Dr. Carol Raza. She's going to be the special speaker. Got a great talk called Wake Up, Sleeping Beauty. You've already been kissed. And that's at the Women, Wine, and Wisdom event coming up on Thursday, April 14th. Buy a couple tickets, get the early bird special. It goes through the 21st. And bring your friend, bring your neighbor, bring a family member who's never been to an event like this. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, and I'm going to talk to you about humility going forward. Rediscover.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
Are you looking for a used car without the worry and big city dealers' hassle? Then come to Matzak Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine, where you'll find a great selection of GM-certified pre-owned vehicles. A GM-certified pre-owned vehicle comes with the peace of mind of a 12-month, 12,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and coverage on the engine and transmission up to 100,000 miles. Plus, you'll save thousands over new. Make the trip to Matzak Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine and discover what many relevant radio listeners already have, that cars really are cheaper in the country. Find us on the web at sackchevy.com. At Matzak Chevrolet Buick in Belle Plaine, you'll like our attitude.
See the USA and see it in your Chevrolet.
GM certified, no worries.
I remember when I was in grammar school.
Bishop of Albany, New York, Edward Scharfenberger.
The sisters told us, you know, Jesus would have died for you if you were the only person in the world. That's the truth of our faith, that Jesus loves each and every one of us personally, no matter what we've done or haven't done. Jesus can break right through that. He wants us to hear that message, I love you. So asking for God's mercy is the first step, because we can't give it unless we've received it.
Talk radio for Catholic life. Relevant radio.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Having a great day today. If you're listening to the rebroadcast, it'll be Saturday or Sunday. But every Friday, 9 a.m., we're here to talk about evangelization, talking about Jesus and following him and some of the skills that are needed to follow him, the skills he gives us, and the way he changes us. And one of the ways that Jesus changes us, if we hang around with him long enough, you know, humility is gonna rub off on you. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes, about humility. You know, humility, I think, sometimes is very misunderstood. You know, I think sometimes people think about humility as weakness, you know? To be a meek person, to be a humble person means that you're a doormat and people can walk all over you and you're not going to do anything about it. But that doesn't have anything to do with humility or meekness. You know, the Old Testament says that Moses was the most meek man on earth. Well, I think you've seen Charlton Heston. He wasn't a walkover, you know. He wasn't a doormat, and Moses was not a doormat. He was a very strong man, but he was meek. And to be meek means that you are easily taught. It means that you can change, and that you can be formed by God. So meekness is a very, very, very good attribute to have. Humility is very much related. You know, when we talk about humility, and you know yourself, I mean, think about it for a moment. You know people who are humble, and they may be very strong people, but they are humble. And you know people who don't have any humility at all. And typically those are people you don't want to spend a lot of time around. People who lack humility are people who are typically stuck on themselves. They're thinking about themselves. They think they're right all the time. They think that their opinion is the opinion that really matters. And when they come into a room, it changes, doesn't it? But when I think about, you know, humble people, I think about people like St. John Paul II. I think about Mother Teresa, very humble people. And a humble person is someone who has a very good grasp of who they are in relationship to God. You know, humility could be thought of in two ways. One is that the humble person has a good idea or an accurate idea of who they are in relationship to God. They're not God themselves, but they are subject to God. They are sons and daughters of God. But humility also speaks of our relationship with one another, in that we have a proper assessment, evaluation, of who we are in relationship to one another. The humble person doesn't say, I'm below everybody. That's not humility. In fact, it really can be false humility, you know, at times. But the humble person says, I know who I am in relationship to you, my brother, my sister, in that I'm not more important, and I'm not less important, but I know who I am. I know my place. And when you walk in that humility, you really stand to gain a lot. You really do. In fact, humility really is the key to learning. And when we have the proper assessment of who we are in relationship to our Heavenly Father, then we're also in a place where we can learn and we can grow and we can be better formed. When you think about humility, the epitome of humility is Jesus. When you think about it, when he came to earth, God sent his son to earth as a human, like one of us. That's humble. That's humble. He came and he subjected himself in Matthew chapter 3 to baptism. And John the Baptist said, well, wait a minute. You should be doing this to me. And Jesus said, no, I have to fulfill all righteousness. And so not only did God come to earth as a baby in the arms of the Virgin Mary, but he subjected himself to baptism. And get this, even the place he subjected himself to baptism was the lowest point on earth, the Jordan River in the wilderness of Judea. It was the lowest place geographically in the world. That's humble. That is humble. And his growing up in the silent years, those 30 silent years, was a sign of humility. The Catechism even tells us in paragraph 564, by his obedience to Mary and Joseph, as well as by his humble work during the long years in Nazareth, Jesus gives us the example of holiness in the daily life of family and work. That's the humble work that he did. His baptism, as I mentioned, a sign of his humility. The beginning of his ministry, the temptation that he went through in the desert in Matthew 4 is also a sign of humility. The Catechism says, in paragraph 566, the temptation in the desert shows Jesus, the humble Messiah, who triumphs over Satan by his total adherence to the plan of salvation willed by the Father. It speaks of humility. And Jesus taught that the greatest in the kingdom must humble themselves and become like children. And you know what? He set the example for us. What did he do? He washed the feet of his disciples in John chapter 13. Once again, setting an example for us, the washing of the feet. Humility is one of the fruits of the Spirit that we enjoy as we grow in Christ. But there's some real practical things that you can gain by having a proper assessment of who you are in relationship to God and a proper assessment of who you are in relationship to your brother or sister in Christ. And that is that the opposite of humility is pride, but if you walk in humility, number one, it is the key to gaining wisdom. So the person that walks in humility, that is, they're willing to learn, they're willing to subject themselves to one another, they're willing to not always, you know, having to be right, they're going to gain wisdom. The scripture says in Proverbs 11 and verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. So, in other words, you could say this. You could say that humility sets the table for the wisdom of God to come into your life. Let me say that again. Humility sets the table for the wisdom of God to come into your life. Isn't that beautiful? And I know as a kid, I mean, we all know. You remember those days when your father, your mother tried to teach you something? I remember my dad trying to teach me math, and my dad has an advanced degree in math and electrical engineering. And so when I was in 7th and 8th and 9th grade, it wasn't the easiest thing for me to do is sit down and learn advanced math from my dad. And it was frustrating for me, you know? You know why it was frustrating for me? Pride. Because my dad would start to teach me something about math, and I go, I know. And what was I doing? I was setting a wall up between us of pride. Oh, I know that. And my dad's looking at me thinking, you don't know squat. But I didn't. I didn't know anything. And so that pride came up, and you know what it did? It didn't allow me to learn anything because of my own pride. And maybe you have an example of your own childhood where your parents were trying to teach you something and pride went up and the wall went up and there was no way that you were going to learn. Or maybe that happens even today in your business. Maybe you have a meeting, you know, a board meeting, or you're working with people on a church council, and your pride comes up and you can't even hear the wisdom around you. So humble yourself. That's one of the beautiful things about this is that we are the ones in charge of humbling ourselves, you know? And the scripture says that if you don't, God is going to humble you. I'd rather humble myself, actually, than have God have to humble me. I would like to have God be the one who benefits from my humility as I gain wisdom and then walk in that wisdom. But think about where you're at right now in your life concerning humility and wisdom. Do you need wisdom for raising kids? Do you need wisdom for your business? Do you need wisdom for a decision up ahead that is very difficult? Then you need to set the table to gain that wisdom. And setting that table is walking in humility. Bluntly, I would say this, and I'd say it about myself too. You're not as smart as you think you are. You're not as clever as you think you are. And there's always someone smarter around, and there's always someone more clever, and someone who has deep wisdom. You know, wisdom, just to end this part here about wisdom, wisdom is different than knowledge. You can gain so much knowledge by reading and seminars and radio and TV and everything else, and you've got a lot of knowledge. And there's a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge who don't have wisdom, because the wisdom is the application, the godly application of that knowledge. You can know all about raising kids, but if you don't have wisdom, then you're not going to realize the fruit of wisdom. So the beginning, if you need wisdom, the beginning of it, you know what the scripture says? Ask for it. Help, I need wisdom. God will give you wisdom, but you have to have humility. Humility is the door for that wisdom to come into your life. So humble yourself. Another thing about humility is that God looks to the humble person to work through. He looks to the humble person to work through. God himself has a hard time working through pride in people's lives. It's very difficult, as you know. If you have kids, you've experienced it. The scripture says in Isaiah 66 in verse 2, it's one of my favorite, "All these things my hand has made, and so all these things are mine, says the Lord. But this is the man to whom I will look, he that is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Isn't that beautiful? He says, this is the one I'm going to look to. This is the one I want to work through. It's the one who's humble and has a contrite spirit. If you want God to work through you, you want to be a vessel for God to communicate to other people, your children, neighbors, colleagues, then he's going to look to the humble heart to do that. And you know, people receive better from a humble heart than a heart filled with pride. Children receive better from a humble heart. And I got to tell you, yeah, I teach Bible, I do all of that, but there have been some times in my life where I think I've been too harsh. I think I've been too judgmental. I have been too angry, even with my own children. And I've had to sit down with them and say, I am sorry. I had the wrong attitude, and I am really, really sorry. You know, kids respond, particularly teenagers and particularly teenage girls, really respond to humility and love. Fathers, be gentle with your children. You can be strong and you can be firm, but you can also be humble and gentle. Another thing is that humility prepares the avenue to your heart for God's grace. That's right. You need grace in your life? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is the life of the Trinity. And if you need that, humility prepares the avenue to your heart. It says in James and Peter, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Another thing, you know that you can diffuse arguments when you are humble? Yeah. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you're in the middle of an argument right now and some kind of disagreement at work or at home, listen, you can diffuse arguments with humility, or you can keep that argument going and inflamed with pride. And also, you do not have to put on a false front when you're humble. This is my favorite point You don't have to put up a false front when you are humble. No hypocrisy. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word for actor. Actor. A hypocrite is an actor. They're playing a role. You don't have to do that when you walk in humility. You can let your yes be yes and your no, no. And you can be just one person at home, at work, with your kids, with your spouse. Just one person. You. You don't have to act like somebody else. That's humility. You don't have to put on a false front. So humility, as St. Augustine says, is the foundation of all other virtues. Hence, in the soul in which this virtue does not exist, there cannot be any other virtue except in mere appearance. That's not me saying that. That's a saint. St. Augustine, humility is the foundation of all the other virtues. So I want to really encourage you to develop that humility in your own life. Take some time today and do a proper assessment of who you are in relationship to God. You'll come to an answer pretty quick on that one. I think it's a little bit more difficult to assess who you are in relationship to other people because we have such a need to be important and recognized. But you know what? The important thing is that you're recognized by God. You're recognized by God, and you're only one part of this great big puzzle called the body of Christ here on earth. Figure out what your calling is and appreciate all those stones around you in this living temple. If your back feels like it's being pushed by a stone next to you, well, rather than asking that stone to chop off that protrusion, maybe you want to make room in your own life for your brother or sister to fit so that this body of Christ works together in a better way. That's humility. And just some thoughts on humility today. We're going to take a break right now. We're coming back with a whole lot of really neat things happening in the Archdiocese. And we think that you're going to want to take advantage of a couple of them. So we'll be back in just a second. This is the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Living the Gospel of Life is heard Saturday mornings at 11:30 with hosts Brian Gibson and Kim Morgan.
There is forgiveness and help readily available from God.
Alyssa, you said you saw them at an abortion mill.
Yeah, actually it was the first time that they were right across the street. But I never could unsee them. And even though I had been so harsh to them, when I was inside, I couldn't unthink about them. It was 10 years before I went to confession. All those years, someplace in there, were those nameless people across the street saying they were praying for me.
Listen for a complete understanding of pro-life issues and current events. Brought to you in part by Glasgow Automotive, maintaining Swedish cars that begin with the letter V. They have the latest tools, technology, and training with the same exacting standards as a dealer. Visit GlasgowAuto.com or call 651-227-8182.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Lots of good things happening here in the Twin Cities. Joining me is the golden voice of Paul.
Well, the copper voice, anyway.
Okay, Paul, what is happening in the Twin Cities?
Tons of things. St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in New Brighton, Minnesota, invites you to experience God's mercy in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. Sunday, March 20th at 4 p.m., St. John's offers one of the largest communal penance services in the Archdiocese, with over 20 priests available to hear individual confessions. Mark your calendar for Sunday, March 20th, 4 p.m. Visit experiencemercy.com for more information. That's experiencemercy.com.
The Servants of the Cross will be doing their 18th annual Living Stations of the Cross at three locations on Good Friday, March 25th. The Living Stations of the Cross is a prayer, not a performance, and will take place at 12 p.m. at the Church of St. Peter in North St. Paul, 3 p.m. at St. Jude in the Lake in Matamidi, 7 p.m. at Blessed Sacrament, formerly St. Thomas the Apostle, in St. Paul. For more information, visit www.servantsofthecrossmn.com.
The Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture invites you to hear Professor Teresa Collette speak on Life on the Edge, upcoming legal challenges. Teresa will speak on March 31st, 7:30 p.m. in North Wolf Alumni Hall in the Anderson Student Center at the University of St. Thomas. For more information, visit stthomas.edu/Siena Symposium.
Do you work in healthcare? Learn how to be an icon of mercy during the Jubilee Year of Mercy, Curatio, an apostolate of Catholic healthcare professionals, and the local guild of the Catholic Medical Association have teamed up to present a half-day retreat on mercy to healthcare professions on April 2nd at Little Sisters of the Poor. Join others in healthcare to hear talks on divine mercy by Dr. Brian Thatcher. For more information and to register, visit www.curatioapostolate.com or call 763-786-4945.
Mark your calendars, bring your family and friends to a concert celebration of the Jubilee Year of Mercy on Divine Mercy Sunday. The Church of St. Timothy in Blaine will host a Rich in Mercy concert Sunday, April 3rd at 4 p.m. Concert directed by Therese Jorgensen will feature the music ministers of St. Timothy's Church, the Adult Choir, Women's Group, Living Stones Teen Ensemble, Cobblestone Children's Choir, the Handbell Choir, and instrumentalists. For more information, visit churchofsttimothy.com. And by the time we get together again, we'll be in the Triduum, Jeff.
We will. It's going to be an exciting time, real focus of our entire year. And we're going to be talking on the next Rediscover Hour about the resurrection, the importance of the resurrection. If it didn't happen, your faith is in vain. But if it did, guess what? Your life's going to change for eternity. That's next on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.